Can century-old ceramics inspire students of today? A Rookwood fountain was preserved and relocated as part of the University of Cincinnati's renovation of its chemistry building, and Cincinnati Public Schools have worked to preserve Rookwood fountains in several of their buildings. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to discuss what it takes to preserve these works of art and what they mean for Cincinnati history are craftsman and Rookwood pottery tile expert Tony Calty, the Rookwood Pottery Company sales director Jason Brown, and Skanska USA Cincinnati assistant superintendent Jordan Tobler. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tony, Rookwood used to be everywhere with Rookwood fireplaces and homes and fountains and schools. Talk about how commonplace it was and why we find it in so many places around here, including schools.
It was pretty prolific production company. They made a lot of it, and it went everywhere. And people enjoyed having it. And then also the art that came with it was pretty cool. And it ended up in schools and people's homes, and Cincinnati has a just really a wonderful connection with the brand. Goes from there. It's historical, but also present. It's being made again, and I get to install some very, very nice projects that are still real special.
What do you think, Jason?
You know, there's an interesting collaboration between the arts and Rookwood pottery throughout the years. It goes all the way back to the early 1900s. There was actually a sales director that was also a manager over at the art museum, spent half the time doing that, a guy named John Guest. And just very interesting that we saw that integration, and that really brought a lot of beauty to people's homes. And I think with the schools, I think the idea was just that, you know, provide these kids with that inspiration that you mentioned.
Tony, my understanding is the original facility in Mount Adams made so much tile, they had kind of an interesting way of getting rid of the blemish tile or the mistakes. Tell us about that.
Well, some of it went down the hill.
They just threw it down the hill?
Apparently. I mean, my friends as younger kids, we were scavengers. So, you know, going up on that hillside and rooting through the dirt and finding pieces, shards and stuff, was something that happened. So, you know, there's quite a few treasures you could find. I don't know where it all went, but some of it went down the hill. Because sometimes when things get fired, they break. They don't come out the way you'd hope. So what do you do with that? And it doesn't really decompose in the ground. So it's stuff you can find.
Yeah. Jason, you don't do that anymore, right? Just throw it out.
Well, there is some, you know, we do have a quality control process,
sure.
So there is a little bit of that, but our production team does a great job controlling that. You know, it's interesting, we hear a lot of stories about Rookwood. I don't know how many of them are true, how many of them are, you know, lore, but it's really a fantastic opportunity to work with Rookwood and to support the brand and to grow awareness. There was a lot of awareness back, you know, in the early 1900s and 1920s. The things that happened, the Great Depression, the wars, the things that happened to really kind of knock us off track, they're behind us. And we really do have an interesting opportunity now. But we do come across these fantastic projects all the time. They come to us, and we're just blessed to be able to work on them and restore some really interesting projects. And we have, Tony is the best. He is literally the best. He should be a consultant for how this kind of stuff should happen, because he's really thinks hard about it and really works through his craft to recreate the historical pieces.
Well, Jordan, let's talk about one of those projects. There was this fountain in the old chemistry building at UC. Describe this for us. How big was this fountain?
So the fountain's about 9 foot tall, 5 foot wide, about nine foot of it sits against the wall. It's got a fountain base, I'd say two foot out, centered on it, that originally had a water spigot on it and no longer operable. But it's quite the spectacle to the eye. When you look at it, it is kind of breathtaking, especially in the place that it sits now. It's kind of an old piece of the soul of the original building in a new building.
So I said was, but of course it's still there, and that's thanks to the work that you all did. Tony, what kind of story do these tiles in the fountain tell?
I guess it's called the Rookwood Fountain of Learning, or at least refer to it in that way. So it has imagery of alchemists making soda, and they're just, they have vats with paddles, and then there's these two platter tiles that have a bunch of other imagery that are, well, historical to the story of chemistry, but then all kinds of markings, hieroglyphics, symbols that refer to chemistry. Also, there's a quote by Galileo on there. It does tell a story, and more than an aesthetic beauty, it depicts a language, the language of chemistry, and for it to be in the new old chem building, it's very appropriate. And then when it was designed and created, I mean, it was meant to tell a story.
What kind of condition was it in?
Actually, it was in pretty good condition, considering where it's been for so long. Very minimal damage at all, really, other than normal wear and tear. But as I took it apart, I kind of cleaned it up the best I could without ruining anything. And it just presents itself now in its new location better than I ever thought it could. It shines where it is right now.
Jordan, tell us about kind of where it was situated originally.
It was in the front foyer of the old chem building. The building was built in 1917. There was a addition put on the back of the building in 1937. So it sat in the original front foyer of the 1917 building, which sits in the Zimmer Quadrangle at UC, kind of surrounded by Swift and Baldwin Hall, which both match, essentially matching buildings more or less. That kind of gives it some of the original buildings on campus. You can kind of see that they're really a step back in time when you're there, kind of old columns, terracotta outside, red brick. And so it was just right there in the front foyer, both of those.
Tony, what was involved in saving this and restoring it? That's a big fountain. It sounds like a big job.
It was. It was. Thinking about how to take it apart, and basically the way I approach it is to take the wall off the fountain. So we went through the back side of the wall and deconstructed the wall to get to the fountain.
Can you explain that a little bit more? Like taking the wall off the fountain, that sounds... So you had to basically demolish around the fountain?
Yes. Yeah. From behind and go through the back of the wall towards the fountain. I find coming in from the front, you will definitely break things. If you go in from the back and deconstruct the wall, and once you get to the tile, the grouts of those days were fairly weak. So the more you take it apart, the more it wants to come apart. And so you can just, you know, deconstruct the wall. And then also what you end up seeing is the back of the tile and then the Rookwood identification marks, the serial numbers, and things like that. So you definitely know that you have Rookwood pottery tile that you're dealing with. But then it's just to be so careful not to be too aggressive while you're being very aggressive because you just want to get as much of this material out of the way as possible. And there was a lot of material to be removed.
Yeah, there must have been.
So, but it went well. You know, basically take the wall apart and then from the top down, then take the fountain apart as it releases and then continue down with the same process until you get it all apart, you know, a piece at a time.
We're talking in this recorded interview about historic Rookwood tiles and fountains in local schools and what it takes to preserve and restore them. Jordan, what did you think about that? I mean, did Tony say, hey, we've got to actually come through the back, take apart the wall? I mean, is that standard in the kinds of projects you usually do?
Typically with that, the bigger concern I had was the walls themselves. I kind of, after speaking to him and talking to a couple other folks, it seemed that was kind of the standard practice and how we would do that, the safest practice to do it. The bigger concern I had with it in general was the wall that itself was built on. It was built on 9x9 clay tile wall that they were more or less, it looked like it was bring your kid to work day with these walls. One of them in one room would look like some guy did it, and the other one in the other room looked like he brought his kid in and let his kid slap a couple in. And then as well with what the project was done at the time, we're demoing a building at the time, so we we were contracted to essentially cut the 1917 building off from the 37 edition, tore down the entire 1937 edition. So as Tony was in there doing that, we've got a guy in a 140-foot excavator tearing down the building behind him, pushing him along, trying to get him out. So it's the, not only is it the removal of the fountain, how delicate it is, and the hard work and everything, the dedication he's got to put into it, but it's pushing it along with that stuff happening right on the backside of him and trying to make that, keep a project schedule and keep it on time.
Jason, how fragile is Rookwood tile when it's, you know, 100 years old? It's pretty sturdy stuff. I mean, a lot of us have it in our homes, but how is there a concern? Is it fragile after all that time?
No, it's really not. It retains its shape very well. It can get dropped and generally not be damaged. The glaze tends to show age, and the glaze will start to pull itself apart and have little fissures or cracks. You'll see that. That is a surface coating issue, though. But it generally, the clay from around here, when that was put in, that was a 1937 item, and it was the clay that was used with that time was, you know, Ohio River area, and the clay really did hold together very well.
What are the steps you have to do, Tony, to be careful? Even though it's pretty sturdy stuff, you don't want the whole thing crashing down all at once.
Just be careful. That was the main step. Also, going back to Jordan and the demolition of the building itself. So Mr. Boone, the man who was driving the machine that was taking the building apart, would come see me from time to time and ask me how I was going, because he would always remind me he's coming to within 20 feet behind me. So the whole time I felt like I was being chased by a dinosaur, because this machine was huge. But it was just, being very methodical, being willing to just get into your little area and have all your safety equipment on and just stay in there and do as much as you can for as long as you can, and just, you know, be very methodical and very patient and just work really hard.
And are you the only person inside the wall essentially doing this, or did you have anybody helping you?
When I got there the first day, there was a square painted on the wall with my name in the middle. And then and Jordan said, okay, well, there were four people that helped me get to the line. And then he said, everything inside the line is you. So after that, it was just me and my little containment, and actually fairly big containment, and just, you know, making it happen. How long was that?
He was there for about a month and a half.
Easy. Yeah, it took a while.
Jason, we mentioned that there are also Rookwood fountains in Cincinnati Public Schools. There are a whole bunch in Hughes High School alone. Do you know what ongoing work is happening to restore those and preserve them and keep those around?
There's nothing active that I know of, but I should point out we have lost a lot of most of our business records to history. So we can't go back and look at a ledger that lays out exactly the address for every install. So we do often have, once a week we have someone ping us on email, send us some photos and say, hey, so-and-so told me this is a Rookwood install. It might be a realtor. It might be, might be somebody like Jordan. It's often times that we have to more or less deduce by looking at the imagery on the tiles, by looking at the type of glaze on the tiles and the shapes. You know, this is a time back in the early 1900s. These tiles oftentimes were made on site. There was a makeshift kiln put up in the yard out in front of the building or the house. And, you know, everything was fired and made on site, sprayed up on site. So to recreate this, it becomes a one-off job for us each time we have to take something like this on. And really, it's an interesting thing. We want to keep doing these projects, but we also, we do need the help from the designer or the person in Jordan's role to recognize the value of what's going on and to pull the funds together, pull the time together, pull the project together to make it happen.
Well, I know Rookwood has an extensive library of old molds for different pieces that have been made over the years. I've been lucky enough to have a tour. It's amazing, and they're dated, and these things are decades, sometimes more than 100 years old, these cool molds. Do you have anything like that for tiles too, or is that more for the vases and sculptures?
It's primarily for the vases and the three-dimensional pieces, for sure. when we came back to Cincinnati in 2006, there was an artist that really led us through rebuilding the business, a guy named Alan Nairn. And Alan is still extremely helpful to our business. He's a mentor to us all. I talk to him, you know, whenever he's in the building, I try to find him. And he does a great job, but ultimately he's the one on a tile by tile basis. He made those decisions about what are we going to recreate, what are we going to put back in our catalog, what is worth bringing back to life. It's more that for tile. We really are working more current projects and focused on executing just what's in front of us.
Jordan, you know, Jason said that Rookwood really needs people in your position to recognize, hey, this is important. Like, we want to preserve this. We're going to put the time and the money into it. Did you recognize that right away? Was that something as soon as you saw it, you knew, or did you have to think about that?
No, I pretty much the moment I saw it knew what it was and what kind of the care that needed to be taken with it, kind of where it needed to be, the delicacy of it, the value of what it is and what it could implicate. So that's really, growing up, my grandfather was always a huge collector of Rookwood pottery. So I mean, the moment I saw it was, all right, something's got to happen here. It ain't just any tile guy can do it. So that's when it kind of starts throttling through your head. Where do I go to find somebody like this? So.
Well, and Tony, you know, Jason said, you're the guy who gets these calls. Do you have any funny stories about some of the restoration projects you've taken on, or what are some of the wildest things you've been asked to do?
Gosh, well, this has probably been the wildest. The best part about it is they found me down on Ludlow. So right now I live down in Clifton, and that they found someone so close to home, so close to the site to be able to pull it off. So I guess for me, it's fun being a Clifton kid working on a Cincinnati project like that, you know, with the history of Rookwood, the history of the university. It all came together, and still a Cincinnati boy took that thing apart. So it's nice to have it all be part of Cincinnati and to be part of that.
Well, what do you think all these efforts to restore, to preserve Rookwood, whether it's at UC or in public schools, Tony and Jason, what do you think all this says about the place Rookwood has in Cincinnati history?
Oh, it's part of Cincinnati soul.
For me, it's, you know, what we did here is we recreated the feeling of what it was like to have that fountain in place and to have that gift that it was when it was put in place, because that's what it was originally. It was a gift to the university. It's a real blessing to be able to recreate that feeling. And that's our challenge each time. I have another project that, you know, that we're getting ready to present on, and it's a historic refabrication done by organized by an architect in Cincinnati, Andreas Lang. And it was a big project. It was actually in St. Louis. It was an old YMCA building originally. And that was our challenge. And that's what Andreas and I talked about, was the challenge of recreating that feeling. And each one of these projects, I really think, is that. It's not about the glaze matching exactly perfectly. It's not about the shape being exactly right. Because these guys both know, Tony especially knows, shape shifts a little bit on us, and sometimes the sizes are a little bit off, and it's not exactly square, and the tone of the color shifts a little bit, and you know that's part of what it is now. And so to build back into that requires that we really have to take a step back from exactly what we have in front of us and understand what feeling are we looking to recreate.
As an installer, you have to let the tile do what it wants to do. You don't do with it what you want to do. Because it's different to work with than normal tile.
Well, I have been talking with craftsman and Rookwood Pottery tile expert Tony Kalti, the Rookwood Pottery Company sales director Jason Brown, and Skanska USA Cincinnati assistant superintendent Jordan Tobler. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And are you already thinking about November's election? Join me in our new building at 8 p.m. September 24th for a live politics show. Get more information and register to attend at wbxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez-Cornu. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.